Amen. If you will, be turning with me to John chapter 4. Let me say again, I want to correct something. I was in the guard 8 years and Shaw Cross 12 years. I get them mixed up like my marriage and also my wedding anniversary sometimes. But anyhow, we're glad that you're here. And this is something that's been dealing with my heart for a good while. I've been looking at. And I guess it's because we find, before I read the verses, we find today there is a lot of discuss about who God is. And they'll tell you that if you believe, what's the difference in the God you believe in, the God that someone else believes in a foreign field, or right here in our nation? We have people believe in gods in our nation a lot different other than the God of this Bible. Do you know that? You got people around here, you go soul winning in, you'll find that they don't believe. Used to, the Bible Belt, at least they knew to talk about God, they was talking about a little bit of one in the Bible, but not so now. And then there's people always saying, well, you make the Bible say anything you want to. Yes, you can, but why would you want to do that? Why would anybody want to make the Bible say anything they want it to? Because if that be the case, you don't even need the Bible. I mean, if God is not the God of this Bible and he's not going to listen to what he's going to tell us to do, why would we want to consider reading the Bible? Because this Bible is going to reveal who the true and living God is. And the Holy Spirit does that. And so I want to talk about why do we worship the God of the Bible? Just a few minutes, and part one and part two. This is part one this morning and part two next week. As we look with me, first of all, in John chapter 4, and we'll read verse 24, but I want to actually going to read verse 20 through 24. Here, Jesus is in a conversation with the Samaritan woman by the well. And they were telling, they worshiped one way, but the Samaritans in a mountain, and the Jews worshiped another way. And that's kind of like somebody saying, well, you worship God the way you want to today, and we'll worship God the way we want to today. Well, I have the same thing that I'm going to say this, read just what I would need to say as Jesus said in that particular day, because he settled this dispute when this was asked. He said, notice, and then a woman came into him, verse 19, says, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Now, I would have thought that Jesus would say, since he was the fulfillment of the prophets of the Old Testament, he said, you know, that's right. It's God set up the temple in Jerusalem. He put his name there. No, he didn't. You know why? That's going to change. He didn't confirm the fact that was true, though that was true at that time. The Jews did worship the true and living God through the system set up in Jerusalem. But then Jesus said to her this, to the woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. So he took both places. He said, the hour's going to come soon. And it's right before that. It's going to come very soon. And he's right at the beginning of his ministry now. But you're not going to worship the Jew, nor you are going to worship God in Jerusalem or this mountain. Why is he saying that? He said, ye worship, ye know not what, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. They ought to know the Messiah was coming, but they missed him because they would not listen to what God said through the system in the Old Testament. And they changed it so much that it didn't bear out when Jesus was here. And therefore, the religious system override what God was doing, but thank God he's greater, because when Christ came forth from the dead, he started a new creation called the new birth. And he said this, but the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshiper shall worship in the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. That's not the way in the Old Testament. You had to obey God in the system. Now he's seeking to worship in spirit and truth. And then he said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if I'm going to follow God like I should, I need to understand what it means to worship him in spirit and truth. I don't have nothing to go to except this book. And this book reveals these things to us. If you look in Matthew chapter 4, you find another way as Jesus was led out to the wilderness. And you remember what happened when Satan approached him himself personally and began to tempt him in temptation. And you find each one of these, sake of time, we won't read now, that Jesus referred back to him, it is written. And then in verse 10, if you look with me, notice he said this in verse 10. And he set forth these words. He said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thy serve. Not only do you worship, but you serve. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if I understand that, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, I need to find out who the Lord thy God is. Where am I going to go? You say, well, everybody has a written document about something. But I'll tell you, I challenge anyone to read those documents, what you want to read of or can read of them, and read the Word of God. And God has promised to back this book up by His Holy Spirit. That's an unseen guest that lives in this world and lives in you and I who are saved. So I believe with all my heart, if I'm going to worship God, it's going to have to be in spirit and truth before you ever see an action. If I can't get the spirit and truth right in the sense of who I am in Christ and the truth that I need to know to apply my life so others can see that I'm a Christian, then I'm going to find out it won't pan out when people look at me. They'll be saying, hey, this person is going to be like someone who says they're a Christian and not a Christian. Then I also see in Philippians chapter 3, he tells us again, I'm going to give a number of verses, just one verse or two, and then get into the message. In Philippians chapter 3, if you look down about verse 3, the scripture says this. He said, for we are the circumcision. Paul's speaking now. We're the circumcision, which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, have no confidence in the flesh. Now, he's not talking about circumcision of the flesh here as being a Jew. He said, we, the children of God. It's that circumcision we saw the other day, not made with hands, that God does for us who are born again, cutting away the filth of the flesh. He said, which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. The flesh will lead us wrong every time unless we control it. Even after we're saved. It happens automatically before we're saved because we'd have nothing inside to tell us the difference other than maybe some rules society makes and governs themselves by. But once we become child of God, then we have the Holy Spirit lives in us. And the Apostle Paul shows us that in Acts chapter 17 for the last one. We find that Paul is down in Athens, and he comes in verse 22. He said, then Paul stood in the midst of, this is chapter 17. Paul stood in the midst, notice he said, of Mars, he was, and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship him, declare unto you. God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that he's Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all the life and breath and all things. And he says he has made us again in one blood, all nations and men, for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. As I look this morning of why do we worship the true and living God, I'm going to find something out about him, who he is and what about his life. And I go back and look in history, I see many people have their distinct opinions of who the supreme being is. You talk to anybody, and in our nation with the mixed cultures we have today, they have a lot of different gods that they say they believe in, and yet you find outside the family of God, they will say, but you can have your God, but we'll have ours, and we'll get along. You can't do that in the family of God. There's only one. There's only one. And once you and I who saved admit to someone they may be another, we've lost. We are not saved. We lost something about the true and living God. There's only one, and this Bible tells us that. What the real God is like, and what does he expect of you and I? The question we have is simply, where do these impressions come from that they tell us about who their God is? Many are simple reflections of how people perceive God. Many of these people perceive God different than what the Bible gives us to see him in. And the reason for that, the mind is a wonderful thing. Yet, listen to me, the greatest human minds in this world cannot fathom the greatness of the God of this Bible. This mind may fathom a lot of things about other gods and may do the things that's ridiculous about how one tried to do themselves to make that God appease their God to hear accept them. But I'm glad when I look at Jesus Christ, my Jesus paid the sacrifice for me, and yours did too. Jesus shed his blood and died on Calvary, but he not only died and was buried, he rose again the third day. The Lord touched my heart the other day. I was reading in Hebrews about he's holding by the word of his power. The thought came to my mind then, when Jesus, who was powerful in this earth, talked about the word of his power, that comes after the resurrection. When Jesus on this earth, he could only help and hold those who he was with in the flesh. But when he rose again, went back with the Father, he can deal with every one of us at one time by his Spirit. You see why it took the resurrection of Christ? You and I don't have to wait till he comes and say he was alive today. Wait till he flies over here to meet with us that we'd have his presence. We can have his presence no matter where we're on the face of the earth. That's the reason Paul could be content down in the Roman jail as much so as he could up in the palace. He goes, God brings contentment when you're in the center of his will and lets us understand that as far as our life is concerned. The Bible is a book about God, about his relationship with human beings. A question again I have in my mind, where do you fit and do I fit in that plan that he's so miraculously saved for us in our day? The scripture contains a long history of God's revelation of himself to man, from Adam to Moses, from Moses to Abraham, from Abraham to the New Testament when Christ came, from Christ to apostles. Now, from the apostles to us in our day, 2,000 years later, we still have the same message. God has preserved for us not only the New Testament, but he gave us the Old Testament to read so we could understand what he was doing before the New Testament started. And he gives us the ability of the Holy Spirit to put the two, reconcile them together. I don't have to bring a sacrifice today to the temple or to the church because my sacrifice is already presented his blood before the throne in heaven. And God accepted and he sat down. And that's something in your mind you have to remember. He sat down. Why? Because there's no other sacrifice. He did it all for you and I. And so when I look at this God, I have to ask the Lord, help me understand exactly who he is. The scripture contains this long history and of course even down today. The Bible reveals what God is like. Bible reveals what he has done, what he expects of us. It tells us why we are ahead, why we are here, and it reveals to us little things understood about his plan and his creation. Did you know that the most fundamental privilege and principle regarding the power of God's understanding is this book? Did you know this book is a commentary that it ought to be compared scripture with scripture? The Bible, did you know the Bible will interpret itself if you have the Holy Spirit of God to show the difference? But then again, thank God for the books that men have written, have given insight. But I'm glad that this book is the only one I need, though I'm glad I got a few other books that I can help me learn man's wisdom. I can learn more probably following someone who has written something about a subject than I can to try to study it myself because they've already spent the hours into it where you'd have to spend hours ahead. So if I know it's good biblical information about it, I love to read behind someone who has been walking with God and shows us some things, and then the Holy Spirit will bear witness to your heart or my heart that whether it's true or not true. And if you see it is true, it helps you move faster growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. You see, we need each other because each one of us has ability that others don't have. If you study this book like you should and follow God and faithful before God like you should, God's going to reveal some things to you this body of church needs, or people are going to see some things that they say we don't need. Because that's the way this book works. He lives in us, and as we live for him, we are something in us that God has given us that no one else has like that. And he needs us together to really bring about the best of what he's doing in this life. Some people have better minds than others. Some people are slow. I've always been slow. But my slowness has not kept me from studying. I may have to study 5 hours of you 2 hours, but I'll still study 5 hours and learn just as much as I can that God wants me to know. And that's the way it should be. And God will honor that as we go through life. And so he says we can compare scripture. If you look also with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when I say this is the best commentary that you can find, in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 2, and I like verse 14, I just said to you that he says, which things also we speak, not in words of the which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, and comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Then he said, but the natural man, helps me understand, the natural man, he said, receiving not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So the miracle of God's love is he knows all about us. And folks, listen to me, earlier this morning, God touch my heart about this, and it's so for everyone in here, no matter what we may say, the miracle of God's love that he knows all about you and I, hear me, he knows everything about us, everything we think, everything that goes about, not just what we see as far as the manifest of the flesh, he sees everything about us and he still loves us. I guarantee you, if you saw some things, you couldn't love somebody because of it, but God does, and he teaches us we can love when we are not capable of seeing to love, we can still love because God sees us. Everything in our heart manifests in this life. He sees it in our mind. He sees it and he still loves you enough. What an amazing thing. God bless his holy name. In Christ Jesus, you can confess your worst sin to him and he will forgive you. That's the way he is. And I'm coming to ask God now, give me a phrase. And I pray, God, I want to give you my best. That's all I can do. And God, please help me, give me my best. And if I can give you my best, I can trust you to do the rest. And I can. Sam, I can't do no more than I do, but I can give him my best and trust him to do the rest. So can everybody else in this building today, wherever you at. There's something that God can use you to do. You give him your best, and he will do the rest for you and I in this life. So when I look at this, I want to understand worship now. And that's what we're talking about here in these verses. Worship means a release of energy. I just released some right then. Amen. What happened, brother? Well, I don't know what I hit. It's getting powerful up here. Amen. I light a lot up like a light in a few minutes. Amen. Worship means release of energy. It puts something on the steps of a higher learning than you and I, a higher power. We should worship God. Why? Because he is God. He deserves it. He bought us with a price. Because he commands us to worship him. Not because we can get something out of it, as worship, though he's promised to bless it. I've never gone before God and did something trying to get something from him other than ask him to save my soul. But I know this, he's promised if I will serve him, he will give me the things that's needed and beyond that as time goes on. If we worship God just to get something out of it, worship becomes a cheap form for self-gratification. It makes God our servant instead of our Lord. And that's what you see in a lot of places now, raising money, doing something and getting a return back manyfold. I know this, I can spread this seed, and God has promised he'd bless it. But this is the seed I want to sow. That's how people get saved. And that's the word of God. And you have this, you feel like saying, if true worship is anything, it's transforming experiences in life. And when we worship God, it should be according to the scripture in spirit and in truth. Now, five quick things, and I won't get all these in this morning, but I have part one and part two. The first thing I want you to know is, I mentioned a few weeks ago, and it's so important to start this off about who God is. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a difference between metamorphosis and masquerade. I had said this a few weeks ago in the service, but not because just that very point. But when you talk about metamorphosis and masquerade, I've learned this and I've told you in the biology many years ago and didn't understand how it could be used as far as God is concerned, but he shows us this. Metamorphosis is means to change from within into another form that someone can see without. The process of nature changing, we said tadpoles into frogs and caterpillars into butterflies and moths. The changing of the outside is the expression of the nature on the inside. So you can see the difference form on the outside. Before we were saved, we were being conformed to everything in this world. That's all. The day you got saved, the day I got saved, God gave me the power of transformation. And he gives me instruction in Romans 12 that I present my body as a living sacrifice and be transformed by the renewal of my mind now in the family of God. And so in turn, then we might prove what that good and acceptable perfect will of God is. You can never, and I told you that night, you can never change from the outside by fashion or conforming without the change coming on the inside. You can never produce, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot produce a butterfly by pinning wings on a worm. It has to start inside and come out. You can't produce a frog on a tadpole by trying to put legs on him, make him look like it, because it won't work. But when metamorphosis takes place, there's a changing on the inside that manifests itself on the outside. And that's the reason through the years you heard me say, without a change inside, there is no Christianity. There's a mock relation. There's a masquerade of it. We got a lot of that going on today. Because what happens, you start changing the outside, thinking you can eventually get enough inside that you see the difference. And you can't change the outside because we've been doing that ever since we were born physically. The outside was being conformed to this world. And Satan is the prince and power of this world. So I need the inside transformation. And that is metamorphosis, spiritually speaking. God, the Holy Spirit, comes in and now I began to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And as I grow, there should be an outward manifesting that to this world. Because if there's not, this world will never understand Christianity and call it a fake and everything else. You've got to have a change inside. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the reason the new birth is so important. If you've not been born again, there's not been a change. And that's what I see here as I talk about why do we worship the God that we worship. In our age, Masquerading means to change from the outside by fashion or conforming without the change from the inside. This is not metamorphosis. This is called masquerading. And ladies and gentlemen, you and I put on cloaks of religion many times. I did. I was a member of church 3 years before I was ever saved. What was I doing? Masquerading. Why? Because nothing inside had changed. But September 27, 1959, praise be unto God, something happened. I can't explain it. I just experienced it. And so can you if you're saved. There's a difference in playing church and playing Christianity and being born into the family of God. In this world, again, I was talking about today, and this world not hearing what we heard when we came along years ago. I mean, man preached back in those days where you liked it, lumped it, or licked it. It didn't make no difference to them. In our days, though, it's sugar-coated down. And we don't want to offend nobody. I'm going to tell you what. If you preach Jesus Christ, most of this world is going to be offended. Because they don't believe in him, and they don't want him. They can't get along with him. You see, he has to get along with them before they can get along with him. And you can't get along with them until they're saved. He loves them, but they have to be born into the family of God. So, Matt, this is a difference between metamorphosis and also masquerade. The second thing, that I want you to note the difference that Paul gives in 2 Corinthians. Watch how he talks about this thing in 2 Corinthians. Look with me in chapter 11. The Apostle Paul, in speaking, he's talking about what's going to happen for those who are claiming to be something. Watch in verse 11, he says, verse 12, chapter 11, he said, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off an occasion. Occasion means opportunity. I'm going to cut off the opportunity from them which desire an opportunity, that they would try to be like they were, like the Apostle Paul was. He said, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. If they glory in this, that they would have the occasion to do what we did, to glory like we did in the opportunity. But he said, there is another angle to this. Watch in verse 13. For such are false apostles who are trying to be opportunity to be like them, but yet changing to be something that they are not and saying they are like them, following them. In other words, they're saying, we're following the true God, but they're not. We're following the Lord Jesus Christ, but they're adding maybe works in with it. And he goes on, he said, they are false apostles, deceitful workers. Now, we can't be apostles, but deceitful workers, he put that in there, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. That is, they're still looking at transforming, trying to make themselves into something they're not. And it becomes a masquerade rather than a transformation. Yet they call it transformation. And then he tells us why it can't be done. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. In other words, Satan can make you think that he's an angel of light. He can say those good things compared with truth, and it might seem right, but if you have error in truth, you have nothing but error. Truth is standing by on its own. And he goes on, and he said, therefore, it is no great thing of his ministers also be transformed in the minister of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. So what happens is, the conforming has been made outside, and it looks like a transformation, but nothing's happened on the inside. So the only thing they're seeing is a product of Satan. It is Satan who is programming them rather than God. And that's what that verse tells us here, as we see the false teachers adopt the disguises of true apostles of Jesus Christ rather than being who he really is. Their outward change were a masquerade and not a metamorphosis, as we talk about what happens on the inside. So the outward image did not agree with the inward nature. They were only pretending. Paul said these people were only pretending. Watch their lives, because if it is, God will be less and there will be a moving away from God back to the world. But the world wants us to move from the world to God. And it's so simple when you look in the scriptures. The outward image, Matthew 7 verse 2 said Jesus was transformed before the disciples. And I'd go back into that, but I'm working a message on that. They were on the mountain, you remember. All of a sudden, Peter, James, John were there, and suddenly Jesus was transformed right into mist. And man, they wanted to build a tabernacle and stay right there on the mountain with him at that time. And I'll get to that in another message. But in John chapter 1, verse 14, the Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. It was full of grace and truth. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, so if we have not followed cunning devices, Peter said, when we have made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Jesus Christ was transfigured in Matthew chapter 17, verse 2, but he was not a masquerade. Why is it a masquerade? In other words, the angel is not shining a spotlight from heaven down on Christ in a physical body. They were seeing an inner thing that came out in the flesh as he was transformed and glowed before them. It wasn't that a spotlight from heaven shone down upon Christ and they saw it shine around him. This was an energy inside that saw the light of God in Christ as he was transformed right before their eyes. And suddenly they began to worship him, want to build something for him because of his situation there on that mountainside. Jesus was transformed on the outside by revealing the glory was on the inside of Christ. This is how God wants to transform us through Jesus Christ. Every Christian is either a conformer or a transformer. Our lives are either being changed by pressure from without, which is conforming, or by power from within, which is transforming. And that's the transforming power that God says he has. He can hold it together by the word of his power, because he is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So our lives are either being changed by pressure from without, and the Bible calls that conforming. Romans 12:1, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your body a living sacrifice, which is a reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, verse 2, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can't do that without the Holy Spirit of God being born into the family of God. And so again, our lives are being changed by pressure from the outside called conforming, or by the power from within called transforming. And the difference is worship. How we worship God will determine that situation in our lives. And I see that. Number three, note how Paul contrasts these two. And this will be the last thing this morning as we look at some things. I'm going to get away from what it's looking at God and then what God says about what we should do in this transforming power. Note how Paul contrasts these two ways together. When you were saved or born again, the believer has been transformed by the Holy Spirit of God or been conformed to this world by Satan. Now, this is the difference. Before we were saved, we were being formed, fashioned like this world. Everything we went, academics, everything we went, most everything we see is conformed to this world. But there came a day you and I met the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel has given. We came to the door. We would receive Christ by going through the door of Jesus Christ. And in him now, which is that arena that we're in, now we are begin to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And God has given us the book for that. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that acceptable, perfect will of God, and not conform to the world, but because you've been transformed, now you've been conformed to the image of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the world can see Jesus rather than us, hopefully, who have been born again. When it comes from our mouth or comes from our life in this life, we have been conforming to this world since we were physical. The transformed lives by the power from within, while the conforming life by pressure from without. The question would be, will God be pleased with my decision in life? It ought to be that. Once we say, not to be conformed to the world like we were before, but being transformed to be conformed to the image of Christ, then a pressure ought to be, will God be pleased with me if I do this thing? If I can't find where it's this, thou shalt not. Will he be pleased with my life in going this way, doing this thing, so forth? And therefore, if he's not, we're conforming rather than being transformed. And the Bible, Holy Spirit, will show us that. In Romans 12, again, in verse 1 and 2, he presents a technical term for offering a sacrifice on the altar of the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the Christian is to be living sacrifice for Jesus. Hey, listen to me, living sacrifice for Jesus, not a dead corpse. Wait a minute, preacher, I'm not a dead corpse, but wait a minute. Before I was saved, spiritually, I was dead. God was seeking me. Had no relationship. Before you were saved, spiritually, you were dead. Spiritually. The Bible declares that. Dead in trespasses and sin. But once you trust Christ, the resurrected life of Christ, who is our Passover lamb, who is our high priest, raises up in us now. And the Holy Spirit, he gave to us to reside in us, to help us now be able to be transformed. We have the power to transform the day we get saved. But the transformation is done by this book as it comes through our mind, through our heart, and the Holy Spirit teaches us the things of God. So we don't, he's even documented it so we don't get it mixed up. We might get it mixed up how we read it, but we don't get it mixed up because we don't have it. We have the Word of God, and he's given it to us for our learning in our particular day. And so, in the New Testament, Christians are to be a living sacrifice for Jesus, not a corpse. That is, with no spiritual life. So the difference between Romans 12:2 and Romans 8:29. In Romans 12:2, verse 12:2, he said, be not conformed to this world, be not fashioned this world, but be transformed by the changing of your mind. That is, change the function of your life so the world outside can see the change that took place inside. And then God predestined those who are born again, in Romans 8:29, to be conformed to the image of his son. That helps me understand. If I've been born again now, I'm to start the transformation. I'm to let the transformation in me begin to grow as I grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. So then God can conform me, not to this world, but to his image. Can you not see that, folks? I think a babe in Christ can see that. It's so plain if we listen to it, what God has to say. And then I see, when born again, we can be transformed by the new in our mind that we may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. And here one must be transformed before he can be conformed to the image of God's Son. This is spiritual metamorphosis as you look at physical metamorphosis, not masquerading. Masquerading is saying, you know, you say, are you born again? Well, yeah, I think I am. Well, have you been born again? I don't know what that means, but I believe in God. What are you doing? If you're just saying, I believe in God and don't understand the new birth, everything you do is masquerading. You may beat yourself. There may be a lot of things you go through and try to do. You may try the little best life you can, masquerading, but you can't do it. Why? You have no power inside. The Holy Spirit comes in through the new birth, and the new birth has been born into the family of God. So just keep in mind, Paul said that is people who have, he talks about who are like false apostles. They're masquerading. That's people who are deceived and don't even know it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. God wants us to understand there's a great transaction. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, physical birth is a marvelous thing? Would you not say amen to that? How in the world can such creatures as us be born through procreation like physical birth? And no one be the same. I got news for you. Spiritual birth is greater than that. Spiritual birth has been born of God. In procreation, we were born to the natural set up at Adam and Eve. Spiritual birth, though, takes an act from God himself, individually. We came through procreation of Adam and Eve, our forefathers. But spiritual birth, God himself came personally to you and I when we asked Christ to come in and received us unto him. And I think about, as we think about God's nature, and I close, how do you look at God's nature? Maybe like these children did. This is a 34th grader in Wheaton, Illinois, Christian grammar school, that asked some questions to these kids, and they gave a few answers. And the question was this: by faith, I know that God is. I wonder what we would say. By faith. You can't know him without faith. Right? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You can't know him without faith. So, by faith, I know God is. And these are, we're talking about third and fourth graders. Amanda said this: by faith, I know that God is forgiven because he forgave in the Bible. And he forgave me when I went in the road on my bike without my parents' permission. That's simple, isn't it? But somehow or another, she's got an idea that she did something wrong, though her parents didn't even know about it. Isn't God wonderful? I guarantee you, he can touch your heart about things, and no one but you probably forgot. There's another young fellow by the name of Brandon. He said, by faith I know that God is providing because he dropped manna for Moses and the people, and he gave my dad a job. Paul said, by faith I know that God is merciful. No, it's caring. Because he made the blind man see, and he made me catch a very fast drive that could have hurt me. He probably sent an angel down to protect me. At least he saw that, didn't he? Jeremy said, by faith I know God is merciful because my brother has been nice to me for a whole year. But you know, I love children because they're honest. Did you know that's all God wants us to be, as children? Did you know I'd rather come to the Lord with an open heart and talk to him about who I think he is by scriptures, even though sometimes some may think, well, I've really gone off the deep end, than to try to masquerade before him. Because I'm telling you, you may cannot tell masquerading, and I may not be able to tell masquerading, but God can. God can. And then the last one he said was anonymous. Well, two more. One was anonymous. He said, He said, by faith, I know that God is faithful because the school bill came and my mom didn't know how we were going to pay it. 2 minutes later, my dad called and he said, he just got a raise. My mom was in tears. Boy, that's a good sign for a child to see God answering prayer. And then another last one said, by faith, I know that God is sweet because he gave me a dog. God tells me not to do things that are bad. I need someone like that to tell me. Have you ever asked that to God? I wonder what it'd be sometimes we just go before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm just a child of yours. I've grown some, but I've grown no ways like I should. God, give me, if I give the time in this book, just start reading, then start research, and start comparing scripture with scripture, and start studying topics, and start studying words, and those things that really helps to digest growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Help me understand who you really are. And so I can fill that in by faith. I know that God is. And I hope it's Savior to start with. Would you stand to your feet, Father in heaven? Lord, I thank you for this study. Please, God, if there's ever been a time that God needs to reveal himself to his people, it's today. And he wants to, but he won't without the right resources, without the right information. Thank you again today. We have this precious book that we might be able to look at why God, why we worship God like we worship. And that's the God of the Bible. Lord, I thank you again for this place you've raised up. Please let us see your face through the Word of God. Lord, we're not trying to masquerade who you are because that's a failure. Help us understand there's a transaction taking place inside, Lord, that helps us understand. The world needs to see that which comes from within out. We who have been born again, God forbid we'd ever try to conform like the world, but be transformed so you could help us conform to the image, as you said, to Jesus Christ. Help our words be back but alive. Forgive us for we fail you. And thank you, Lord, know you're there. God, I'm so grateful to know, or anybody else sees this or not, I know you see things in my mind, heart, that cannot be hid from you. Nothing can. And in this life, there's so many things we're faced with and have to deal with. I'm glad that sometimes, if I may not get it just right, you still love me. Help everyone in this building to see that and hear us today by you streaming radio. I don't care where they're at. I don't care what's happened. God still loves them. And he'll love them till they draw the last breath. And if Jesus Christ has not come in and made the change so they may manifest who he is, though the world hates his name, therefore will hate his people, we know that God is still there. And we know that, Lord, we're trying to be transformed to conform to the image of God's Son, not continued being conformed to this world by masquerading who you are. Help us today to see the need. We're going to thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.